I'm Buns. I live in Antarctica, and I can tell you firsthand the ice is melting. The ocean is rising, and I can go outdoors in a t-shirt now and live to tell about it.
I'm Barb, and I live on Plastigono Beach, and I'm all in favor of global warming. If the world were a beach, it would be a better place to live.
It sure would be a beach.
Ain't that a beach?
What struck you in the news is something really interesting or enlightening.
Well, about the only thing is the big AIG guys, you know, getting all the millions. It's like Marie Antoinette, you know, let them eat cake during the French Revolution. So the peasants are starving in the streets, and they get million-dollar bonuses.
And then they're getting away with it. I mean, there's, you know, Obama talks the right talk about, well, it should be illegal and all that, but they claim, oh, well, it's tied up in contracts and this, that, nothing.
You have to let them get by with it.
Why?
Because you can't make a rule after it's done.
So it should have been in the...
what's his name? Senator from Connecticut, Chris Dodd. He's getting taking the flack for it, and he admitted that he wrote the language in there that allowed those to take place, and the reason was they can sue the government for three times the amount if they don't. And it is millions, but in percentage wise to billions, it's just cents on the dollar. So we just have to.
Well, I wish they had thought about that before they give them all that money, because it's just sickening.
Well, they did, but then the Treasury Department said, you know, they've got these contracts and they can come after us for more. So at the time, it seemed less of a liability to go ahead and give away $200 million and let's stop it in the future, which is what Obama's saying.
Still seems funky to me somehow.
It's not right. There's no right to it when you're getting rewarded for running a company ground. I'd do it for half a million.
Yeah, and John Stewart, yeah, it's only since on the dollar of all the billions we gave them for sucking really bad. Well, I found it amusing that about Sarah Palin. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah, the 69.
Right, and I think this was just, she was in bed with her husband, and they were giggling about it, and say, well, you know, I can really make, get in the news if I go with the 69 position. I'm going to accept 69% of the money and turn away the rest, but in her plan, the money she was turning away was for education, helping the needy, like her child has Down syndrome. A lot of the money went to special needs like that. And didn't she campaign partly on that she would be proactive in that department, and people would have someone that would work for them to help bring more goods and services. So it doesn't make any sense other than she just wanted attention, is my take on it.
And that's it. I mean, her head is filled with glue. She just wants...
What sticks in there?
Remember that Beatles song, your mother says, BM7, but you'll never get to heaven if your head is filled with glue.
No.
It's all to you.
No, I missed that one. Well, I found it enlightening. I happened to see Rachel Maddow, and she talked about the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act, which really has gotten us into this, a deregulation that the Republicans were trying to, since the 80s, have been trying to get passed. And it was finally three Republicans, Phil Gramm from Texas, Leach, I forget from where, and Bliley, they're all Republicans. They finally got it passed through. And it was really a repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. I did a little research on this because I wasn't just satisfied in deregulation. Although it was described by Rachel as, it was like saying, well, we still have the regulators. They're like cops on horseback, but now the bad guys are in spaceships, you know. So it was like having no regulation and it was a license to steal. And the Republicans knew what it was and what it would do. The Glass-Steagall Act was enacted in 1933 after the Great Depression to help prevent it from happening again. And that, and Glass and Steagall were Democrats. Interesting. Because the reason we got into the Great Depression were some of the reasons that we got into this mess this time. I just found that a little bit enlightening that they knew this was going to happen if they repealed the Glass-Steagall Act and went crazy. And it did. And there's nothing at all funny about that, but I thought it was interesting.
They seem to be incapable of learning from the past. So what's that old saying? Those who can't learn from the past are committed to free living it or something like that.
Well, I think that the Republicans pushing us through knew that all hell would break loose, but they would get super, super rich in the process. And it's just a greed. It's just greed, not caring what happens to the rest of the people. And, you know, millions losing their home and blah, blah, blah. They don't care. They knew what would happen. I just don't know how they got it through other than there was a majority of Republicans in the House and Senate for a while. It started under the Reagan administration, this big push, and we've largely had Republicans in there to get it through. And it was the Democrats that pulled us out of this business anyway back in the 30s, seeing that we needed this regulation. So,
one of the platforms of the Republican Party is the government that governs least, governs best, which I tend to agree with that too. But when you just let business run completely out of control,
right,
and nobody's overseeing it, that's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, it's kind
of... We don't need government intervention in every portion of our
No,
life.
Not in every portion. But how about let's take
just
down...
Just listening in on your private phone call.
Let's take down the stoplights and trust people to do the right thing, you know?
Take
turns. Yeah, and all that sort of thing.
I never thought about it. Stoplights are a socialist form of government.
Well, so are libraries and firemen and policemen and all these other services that we all pay for the good of. Socialist ideas are not evil. It's dictatorship and rule by the rich and that sort of thing that's evil. I mean, everything has to have some kind of check. You know, there has to be a little bit of, you know, regulation of things. But yes, things could be overregulated, but they've been underregulated. That's the problem.
I never thought about stoplights. I'm really getting into that. That might even be a communistic monopoly.
Well, you know, there are some person.
I'm going to rebel. I'm going to run stoplights.
There are personalities out there that are aggressive, and you can learn a lot about people by the way they drive. Yeah, I know this has happened to you and me and anyone else, but have you ever, like, you're just minding your business, going straight ahead, sort of in the speed limit, and then suddenly somebody's turning out of their driveway and they screech their tires and come out in front of you just barely, you barely miss hitting them. And you look up in your rearview mirror, and there's nothing coming for miles. I mean, as far as you can see, there's no traffic behind you. So why do they feel they had to almost cause a wreck and hurry up and get in front of you? You know,
if there are only two, it's important to be first.
Well, it certainly is.
It's that mentality, really.
It's certainly a me first, and I don't give a shit what happens to you. And if you hit me, even though I caused it, you hit my rear end, and you're going to be blamed. I mean, with mentality like that, sure, they would, you know, screw us over financially if they could, you know.
Well, part of it, too, they said there's this, what do you call it, right of privilege, because we're the smartest and the brightest on Wall Street. We deserve the best that is out there. And if we're smart enough to manipulate the market, we deserve millions. And 45% of the world's wealth is gone.
Yeah, but when you hear about how they got the money, it truly was, it was evil, and they knew it was. It was doing things that were, that they knew it would cause this problem.
I agree. It's just greed. Greed. And, I mean, we all want more. Nobody would say, hey, here's $100,000, you want it or you want me to throw it away?
Well,
to me, I mean, nobody's foolish enough to say no. But when it turns into billions, like Bernie Madoff, how much is enough? And it's him.
Well, there is no end to it until they get in trouble. And very few of them really get caught. Hopefully more and more. You know, and there'll be some regulation come back into our lives so that masses are not on the street because of this greed. I think it'll be long and slow getting it reined in. But there's nothing big happening yet because all this deregulation is still in place until they, you know, work on it.
It's legal too. Everything most of those guys did was legal.
Well, not legal per se, just that it was too easy to get away with.
Well, Bill, the buying of loans and giving people loans that didn't even deserve to have a quarter of the loan, it shouldn't have been done, but it was all perfectly legal, and that was how everything, the housing market ballooned out of control. Okay, you only earned $30,000, but we're going to give you a loan for $400,000.
Yeah, I was trying to understand how that profited anybody, and it blew my mind. But I know they sold securities or they sold something to the stock market, and then the stock market made a killing off of it. But in the long run, it wasn't worth anything, and they knew it. But a lot of people made a killing off of it, knowing it was worthless and toxic. If you know you're doing wrong, then I don't care if it's called legal or illegal, it's bad. There's legal terms, malense or something, meaning, you know, intent to harm. There was an intent to harm. It was not they didn't realize that this would cause problems. It's like they knew it would, but they were going to get theirs first and then run. So legality is just a term there.
Well, morality and legality are two different things. And if you're moral when you don't have the opportunity to do anything bad, that's not morality either.
I don't know if I'd use the word morality because it's too closely connected to religion. I just say there is good, there is wrong, and there's right. And if you know you're screwing somebody, there's something inherently bad there, you know. Did you hear about the left-wing smear machine?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I didn't catch the first three, just the last two. This is some dude on Fox News, Bernard Goldberg, I think. But Bill Moyers was number four. He is a really good guy.
Well, I think Keith Oberman was in there, too.
They were all good guys, and Janine Garofalo was number five, and they interviewed her, and she made up a bunch of bullshit saying about the secret meetings they have to destroy, you know, and how they all must wear plaid on certain nights or something. You know, she just played along with the ridiculousness of it. I wish I could see more Fox News just for laughs. It might make me ill, too. But
I can't stand it. I really can't. I just can't stand it. It makes me angry. And then when I see that big old Rush Limbaugh, I mean, I always think Scumball is his last name.
Rush, what was it?
Scumball.
Rush Scumball. Oh, is he in the news there? You know, I just don't catch it. And they don't have it where I work, even though TV's on all night. They, on purpose, really, most of the news channels are not on there. I guess we don't want to worry folks. But I'd just like to see it every once in a while just to see how bad it is. The only time I see anything is when they show clips on the more intelligent shows of them saying really stupid things.
Started to blame Jimmy Carter for, and I know a little bit about the history of these people, for what was going on now. It wasn't Reagan. It started with Carter. He was saying this deregulation. And he talked about this bill that came before Carter. And what a lot of people have forgotten about Chris Matthews is Jimmy Carter brought him to D.C.
Oh, do tell.
And so then he said, wait just a minute, sir. I think you're wrong on that point, you know, and challenged him to it. And I said, whoa, this is getting good. And James goes, what's going on? I said, Carter brought him to town, so he knows everything about the Carter administration. He didn't just fall off the turnip truck when it comes to Jimmy Carter. So he knows what he's talking about. He's not going to back down off this one. I can't even remember who the guy was, but it's so good. But Jimmy Carter brought Chris Matthews to D.C. He was like the golden boy back then.
Huh.
And I really love the politics machine. I do. I love to watch it work.
Well, yeah, it's interesting to watch it work, but to love it is another thing. You know how they started this garbage? It was a Congressman Posey, I think from Florida, started
this. Something stupid he did.
Yeah, he started this big rumor that Obama wasn't really a citizen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
and we need to demand verifiable birth certificates.
And it was already available. I mean, so just because his father was from Africa, he left, unfortunately, seemed to have went back to Africa and left his mom pregnant. I don't know what the circumstances are exactly, but she remained in the U.S., Hawaii, apparently. And, yeah, he was born here. And anyway, so I think it was John Stewart who was making a funny about it, and he says, yeah, so he starts this rumor just to get people buzzing. You know how a lot of people don't think very much, they just kind of react from hearing something to start a buzz. Oh, he's not even a citizen. He says, well, you know, I wouldn't want to start a rumor about Congressman Posey, especially the one where his mother was trapped in a storm with an alligator, and she and she fell in love with it. And now I don't want to get graphic here, but there were screams of ecstasy throughout the swamp, and while the alligator had these hisses of delight. Now I wouldn't want that rumor to be spread, so I'm stopping it right now. It is highly unlikely that Congressman Posey's mother fucked an alligator. But it's the same. It's just the same sort of crap. You start something, you plant a seed in somebody's mind. Of course, that was too ridiculous for it to be believable.
But he does have scales on his skin.
But he is making a point that he just started that, started a stink for no good reason. Just in case Obama just might have a point and just might get some of this corruption, you know, maybe turned around, at least trying. It's amazing to me that people want to work against stopping all the things that have caused us to get into this problem. And it's always got to...
admitting that you're at fault, which you never do that in Washington. And it's almost like a dance to you know, dodge the bullet and point and get it going at somebody else.
Well, almost always, if they have an R by their name, they're profiting from all this. And
weren't you proud of Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Do tell me, why?
Well, when Obama was out in California.
California, eh?
California. Anyway, Arnold, they're trying to set it up for electric cars where you can run completely along the West Coast, pull in at any rest area, recharge, and keep going. And then Arnold's a big part of that. It's going to put people back to work. And, you know, California is really going broke. And so he's a big proponent of what Obama's doing. Then he really got brought then Schwarzenegger down to Washington. And I'm telling you, one thing I know about Arnold, he is a compulsive overachiever. He's a Republican because he's wealthy. But, I mean, he's married to Maria Shriver, for goodness sake, so he's not a hardcore Republican. But he was saying, you know, the stimulus package, we have to do it. It's the only option. Have people out of work and no money.
Right. And tent cities coming up everywhere. So, yeah, there's got to be drastic things to help us get out of this. And if we can bail out these companies that have screwed us over, I think that we could probably bail out some of the people that have been screwed, or at least help there somehow.
Then this situation in Afghanistan, I don't know what to make of that. Because if we build it up and go back in there and kick butt, as soon as we turn around, the same thing's going to happen. I don't know what the solution is.
Well, I worry about, do we have the resources? I mean, men and money. And the war eats up millions and millions and millions, I mean, in a short time. And that's one factor in our economy that's not been good. I mean, can we afford that? Is it really worth it? And if we're just trying to, what is it, control the Strait of what?
Hormuz.
Yeah, if we're just trying to control that, that's going to be a constant battle. I mean, other folks are going to come in there and try to take it over, just like the Russians did. And I think that there's been a lot of battles there over the centuries. So, I mean, I'm not pro-war. And I think we should get out of Iraq as we can. And we can't afford that stuff.
People need to believe in something, and they're afraid. And it goes back to what I was telling you. This is the time to sell hope and faith and goodwill and try and pull people back from that desperate, you know, pull them off the edge of the building and get them back in and it was just a simple little thing. This mm-hmm. Mexican guy was asking me about cutting the tree in the front yard, and it split. And we were talking about how much it was going to cost, and I said, that's too much. I simply can't afford it. And he said, well, what can you afford? We all need to help each other. And I didn't even cut the tree, but he really...
That's nice.
Yeah, what he said got next to me. We have to help each other.
But you didn't bargain with him.
I like the part about we all need to help each other.
Right. It's a good attitude.
And it's like a bartering system is going to make a comeback, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pay you what you need and deserve for the job, but I can do this for you.
Right.
Okay, if you'll do this for me, instead of doing it for me, do it for this guy that I owe this money to, and then maybe I can get him off my back. And, you know, we just trade out services.
Right, and there are some countries where that's still a main thing. But
I saw something very interesting in the news.
What?
Well, it wasn't exactly in the news. It was on one of the educational channels. It was talking about the Holy Grail and the search for the Holy Grail and all. And this one man believes he has found the Holy Grail. And he followed these clues that led him to, it was like the white castle that led him to a certain church. And one of the stained glass windows, it was supposed to be like Matthew, Mark, and John. I don't know why they left Luke out there. I guess they didn't like Luke. But one of the figures looked very feminine. And he said, that's not John at all. That's Mary. And look what's above her. And it was a goblet, stained glass, you know, the Holy Grail. So there was something about a chicken and that led him to White Castle.
You mean the hamburger stand?
Well, in England, they believe that the you know, of course, the Templar Knights. Nobody knows exactly what went on with them, but mine have hidden it in the White Castle, and he found the stone in a cave that had a rooster carved on it. He turned the stone over, and when they were moving it, they broke this little tiny cup that was hidden in this rock with a rooster carving. And it was a cup made of onyx, which is what they believe would have been used during that time frame to capture these things. And the age was age appropriate. Why would you hide this tiny little cup?
And I've never been into the Holy Grail, but I've heard it said, or I picked it up from some movie or book or something, that it signified the woman's womb, because she gave birth to, you know, she gives birth, period, and gave birth to Jesus, whatever. But a woman gives life. I mean, not all by herself, but that the Holy Grail just might be her womb or her vagina or something. And now that you bring in a rooster, that could be the cock. But I've never been excited by the Holy Grail, you know.
Well, the Grail was supposedly used to collect Christ's blood as he lay dying. So,
well, there's so many twisted stories, you know.
I mean, is there anything that actually touched Christ still in existence? We don't know, but such a thing, if it did exist, is...
But how gross that anyone be standing there with a cup. I mean, this seems so unlikely. I mean,
but it's the essence of life that they were collecting, and it wasn't like a cup. It was.
Are these the good guys or the bad guys standing there with a cup?
It was Mary, so she's trying to keep anything she can.
Well, she could stand under and let it bleed on her clothes, and then keep her clothes. I mean, it's all fantastic stories. I don't know. I think I guess there were guards hanging around, or I just chopped that thing down and get him to off of there, you know.
You know, how did they do that? And all this barbaric ways of killing, like in Mexico now, they're beheading people with these drug killings.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's wrong with just plain shooting? I've been getting.
I remember you saying a long time ago that knives and things like that were way too personal.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're connected directly to the weapon doing it. I mean, you kill somebody with a gun, you still did it. But
you have to have your eyes open, I think, to make sure you're hitting the person. With a gun, you could pretty much just kind of just point and close your eyes.
Or just keep popping them off till you hit something.
Well, they're afraid it's going to spill over into, I guess, El Paso. It's, I guess, another reason not to run down there and buy a cheap house.
El Paso right now is the third safest city in the country.
It's the third poorest, too, or bottom on the ranks of bottom. I don't know how they figure that. I don't trust any facts or figures.
Well, they do slant it. You don't know what they're counting exactly. Does that mean except for murder?
Well, there's a reason why there's bars almost every window down there, you know?
Thanks for listening to the Buns and Barbs Talk Show. Come back again next week and see what we're gabbing about next. Check out our MySpace site at myspace.com/BunsandBarbsTalkShow. You can catch us on iTunes also. And we have a blog. There are links to these and other sites at myspace.com/BunsandBarbTalkShow. Can't remember the stuff right now, so just go there, okay? All right then, till next time, stay opinionated. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha